It's wonderful to hear all the joy and all the, we can put aside everything that bothers us. Just come into the house of the Lord and just worship Him from the very depth of our soul. It's also when you're home, just put everything aside, and this is a time that we should be joyful and thankful. And doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I think every one of us has something going on in our life that could cause us not to be joyful. But God wants us to celebrate His birth. Amen. Maybe you ought to just put on Strike the Ground and play it all day long in your home. Yes. Yes. You know, really. Did you really hear the words of that song? There's a war going on in the heavenlies. And righteousness is reigning. Amen. And if you're listening to the reading of the prophetic words, that's what God's saying. There is a true war going on in the heavenlies. And He is bringing righteousness into the earth through this war. You know, we just have to just shout and dance and rejoice. And, you know, and Isaiah is always putting on Strike the Ground or that joy song. And, you know, he just dances all through the house. He doesn't know how to sit still. But that's all right. He's joyful. Okay, he's up and down and brings joy everywhere. And this is what each one of us should be doing. We should each be bringing joy wherever we go. You know, tell the devil he's a liar and just keep on going. That might not take your problem away, but it's giving the devil a black eye. And I want you to quit saying, well, look at poor me. Come on, we aren't poor me's, are we? We're the children of God, right? And so we should be spreading that joy, right? So if there's anybody in your family that wants to be ho-hum, smack them. Smack them and tell them God's called us to be joyful. You can do that, Trinity. Smack him. And tell him to be laughing and have a good time. Yeah, all right? I about said this only comes one part of the year, but that's not true. It's 365 days of joy, right? Joy unspeakable. Excuse me. Thank you, Father. Somebody sent me an email. Who was it? Sent me the joke that said, "If you're a, what did it say? Give her a microphone." Now she's all red faced. It's her fault for sending it to me.
The joke said that if you're out shopping this week, don't get mad at the retailers because it's not their fault you waited until Mary's water broke the shop.
Did you hear that? It wasn't their fault you waited to Mary's water broke before you went shopping. You know, we just have to have joy in the house of the Lord. Come on. God taught me that when I first got born again. He likes to laugh. And I was the first one to say when I saw the picture of Jesus laughing, I said, that's terrible. And God had to show me, no, it was a good thing. That the body of Christ, that's why you can't draw anybody into the house of God, is because you have a pickled face. And you don't know how to have fun. Amen. Well, Father, just look at those who came out to worship you tonight and sit at your table. Take a good long look, Father, because I want you to do something special for them this season. I want you to put a joy in them that the enemy can't rip out of them. And Father God, I want them to be a standard for the world to see. That it doesn't matter how dark it gets. They are the light shining in a dark, dark world. And you are the Father of all lights. And you are leading, guiding, and directing our footsteps. And Father, we truly do thank you. I thank you for tonight, Father, because I feel in this house you are residing in all your fullness, and your people are rejoicing even in the midst of their storms. And Father, I thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us every day of our lives up to this point in church history. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' holy, mighty name. I'm gonna. This is called Sift You as Wheat. I want to read what we read the other night, or Sunday, I think it was, Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian. If we could walk through hell today, we would find all sorts of people who were at one point almost persuaded to become a Christian." And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We God taught us that this, I think it was Sunday. But the body, the reason why the body of Christ is going through the trauma they're going through is because they are not fully persuaded to become a true child of God. They've been almost, but they can't make that final step of losing, you know, just losing their self to Christ and just stepping in to His glory and His fullness. If you really are listening to what people are saying, everybody feels lost. They're disorientated. They're getting discouraged. There's all that darkness that's being set out there. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking about song leaders. I'm talking about evangelists. You're not hearing too many good reports. You're hearing a whole lot of bad reports about they want to quit. Almost persuaded, but not totally and completely submitted 100% to the Father. That's why you go down those dark roads. All right, so God gave me a word, and we're going to get to that, but I put this ahead of it, all right? At the Last Supper, Jesus warned Simon Peter that a test of faith was coming. He said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." And that's in Luke 22:31. The outspoken disciple, Peter, seemed to be in the same predicament as Job when Satan sought to put him to the test. Think about this. You find that in Job chapters 1 and 2. In Job 1 through 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Isn't that wonderful? "Have you considered my servant Nancy?" See, God brought your name up. And Satan says he was looking for people. He didn't bring anybody's name up, did he? All right, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" I mean, he was a good guy. "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" And the Lord was really confident in Job, and he said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. God gave Satan to destroy everything Job had. He said, "Just can't kill him." Remember, God told us to go through a Job experience. Remember, God told me Satan was after me, asked for me, and he said he can do everything but kill you. And that's what he did. I want each one of you to start really thinking about what's happening in your life. Do you understand that God has so much faith in you that he said, have you considered my servant Aaron? As then, way goes Satan. All right, let's just see how strong Aaron really is. What does he have really inside of him? And then he puts Aaron through the test. Puts him through the furnace of affliction. Puts him through the sieve. Over and over and over again. Now, is God thinks God knows that Aaron's going to stand strong, but does Aaron know he's strong enough to go through everything that Satan is going to put him through? You could put your own name in that. God knows what you can endure. God would not have said, have you considered Job, if he didn't know that Job had the tenacity in him to go through anything that Satan would do to him. When God told me, you know, I was always telling you about, God told me Satan was after me and he was going to turn me every which way but loose and I'd be standing firm. When he told me that was when he gave me Peter. You know, like he did Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. I was already going through some really trying things. And I said, God, what is going on here? Why am I going through this? And he gave me that scripture. Satan asked to sift me as wheat. Satan asked to sift you. God just didn't go out and, you know, hey, Satan, come up here. Stand before me because I want you to go sift somebody. He doesn't do that. Satan comes. He knows you. So he says, goes before God and says, I want them. I want to be able to sift them. I'm going to show you what they're not made of. You know, I'm teaching this tonight because God told me to get to begin with, but to end with, there's too many people out there that have not been persuaded 100% to serve God. And that is why you're being tested and tried and you're not making it. You're going to have to do some reevaluation and decide, am I really going to give God 100%? All right, let's take a look at Peter in the New Testament. So that was the Old Testament. That was Job, all right? Now let's go to the New Testament. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. I'd use this, the Amplified, because it shows you that it wasn't just Peter he was after. He was after all of his disciples. So, you know, like God used to always tell me when I fussed, he said, you're not the only one in this boat. So some of you are still doing the same thing. You're whining and moaning, thinking you're the only one that's being persecuted, and you're not. We're all in the same boat. That's why God said we have to have unity. That's why he's been trying to get us to love our brother and sister. That's why he's telling us to quit judging each other and love each other. Because we're all right now being tested and tried. Sometimes we think beyond our limit. All right? In verse 32, Jesus said, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. But when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Right here it tells me, and when I read that letter, read this when I was going through all the time, it showed me Peter was going to fall. So then, because God gave me the scripture, told me this was where I was at, that meant I was going to fall too. But Jesus said, I am praying for you. I didn't fall, but you know, we could think of it that way. Because if Peter fell, Peter was one of his top disciples. Who are we to say that we will not? But while Peter did say that, he's going to go wherever, you know, no matter where he was going to go, right? He did say that. All right, Satan wanted to sift Peter as wheat, which means that he wished to shake Peter's faith so forcibly that he would fall, proving that God's faithful servant was lacking. Now, you wonder why you're being shaken so hard? You're wondering why you're going through the crucible? It's because he's trying to get you to lose your faith. And he's working. It's working on some. They're leaving the house of God. You are not strong enough material. Listen, you're not strong enough material until Satan sifts you. And then when he sifts you, that determines, are you faithful and strong or are you not? Are you really good? You can go around and just spout off faith all you want when you're not being tested. But it's when the tests come that it proves who you truly are. It was not just Peter who was in danger, though. The word for you in Luke 22:31 is plural. Jesus was speaking to Peter, informing him that Satan had his sights set on all the disciples. Do you understand that Satan has his sights set on everybody in this room tonight, and everybody in the sound of my voice? Satan has already targeted you. You have a big red bullseye on you. And you're going to have to determine who's going to win this battle. It's always been that way. You know, when God told me we was in a tug of war, he said, it's up to you, daughter, which one of us wins this tug of war. I can either say it's too hard and just give in to Satan, or I can prove to Satan that I'm stronger than he is. I know who I am in Christ, and I'll let Jesus win the tug of war. When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to blame him for nothing. He said, you have to work out your salvation daily. He didn't say he was going to do it. He said, you have to. Some translations, such as a Barron Study Bible, which I get, specify the whole group. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. That's why when in the Lighthouse Church, God's been saying, I want unity. I want love in here. I want the love to be the foundation. I want each of you praying for one another. Now, how many, you don't have to say anything, but be honest with yourself. You really get aggravated at somebody in here, but then you hear that they're having a problem. What's your first response? Pray. You start praying for them. You forget why you're upset with them. I hope that's the way it works. That's the way it should work. I can say, boy, they're just acting dumb. And then God will say to me, you need to start praying for them because this, and I forget I thought they were dumb. And, you know, you're all the same. You know, let's be honest about it. And you forget that, and then your immediate response, because you're full of love and full of unity, is to pray for the person. Isn't that how it goes? Sure. All right. The name Satan means adversary or accuser. He accuses God's people of doing wrong, and you can find that in Zechariah 3:1 and Revelation 12:10. As Peter would later testify, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, and that's 1 Peter 5:8. Now, sift as wheat is a metaphor that could also be expressed as shake someone apart or break a person down. How many of you know that he's been wearing you down? You know, trying to wear you down. You're being sifted. You're going through the worst, some of us are going through the worst trial that we've ever had to go through. I just want to stop because I just remember something. Remember I said we weren't going to have a nursery? Because I said, God isn't telling me what to do with it. Well, the very next day, somebody put out a prophetic word. It was one of the top prophets that I really trust. And they said, God said he wants the nurseries shut down. He wants the children brought into the sanctuary so they can sit under the anointing. I didn't know why, but God just said, no more nursery. Is that who it was? She said, it's Kent Christmas. But, you know, and I thought, hey, God, you know, you're right on there. God is good. Really, truly, one of the people to do the nursery was a little bit in a twit, and that's why I close it down. But see, God used that person to be in a twit to make me close it down. You see what I'm saying? God works in mysterious ways. So let's just quit being all in a befuddled, and let's just know that God is working and that he's going to do it the way he wants to do it. You know, I always use that word twit, and the other day I was talking to Aaron, and I said, I just don't know what to say, and God said, why don't you say twit? So I said twit. He's so cute, God is. Aaron's cute too, but no, God's really cute. He's so matter-of-fact, down-to-earth, isn't he? All right, Amos 9:9 gives us a similar image of God shaking Israel, and this is what God said, for I will give the command and will shake Israel along with the other nations. As grain is shaken in a sieve, yet not one true kernel will be lost. See, God said, I will give the command and will shake Israel. So he said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He gave the command. You see that? And he allowed the shaking to happen. And he knew there's something in us that needed to be shaken out. All right, in biblical times, wheat or other grain was sifted through a sieve or large strainer. Okay, see, this is what I always say this. I wish to use a large strainer, right? Because we who bake know that a sieve is really fine holds, right? As it was shaken violently, the dirt and other impurities that clung to the grain during the threshing process would separate from the good, usable grain. So when God lets us go through the sieve, he's getting everything out that's impure. There's nothing left except who you are in Christ. In sifting Peter and the other disciples as wheat, Satan's goal was to crush them and wreck their faith. How many people do you see right now that don't have much faith, don't have no faith? I don't think there even is a God to hear people say. You know, they've been sifted and sifted and sifted to the point that Satan won. Instead of them staying strong and say, I don't care what you do to me, Satan, I'm not going to quit serving God. You gave in, said there is no God. You kept listening to what Satan had to say. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God. And he sifted you and sifted you. And finally you believed his lie, not the truth. In truth, the adversary wants to destroy the faith of every believer. And John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But Jesus assured Peter, I have pleaded. This is Luke 22:32. But Jesus assured Peter, I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. See that? So that told me he was going to fail. Peter's leadership role, and well, whenever God gave me that scripture, I said, God, don't let me fail. I'm not going to fail you. I really want. I'm not going to give in to what's going on around about me. And I didn't. But I could have. All right? And you can too. Peter's leadership role in the early church proved that the Lord's prayer for Peter was answered. Because Peter did come back. And Peter then went on to strengthen the brethren. And God used him mightily in great signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus did not promise to remove Peter's impending test. Come on. On the contrary, he predicted that Peter would fail the test by denying Christ three times. And you'll find that in Luke 22:34. God is not going to lie to you. He isn't. Whenever he told me that Satan was asking to sift me, he told me he's going to turn you every which way but loose. He said, but when it's done, you'll be standing on your feet praising me. See, he told me I wasn't going to fail. And that's how it happened. And believe me, during the sifting, I many times wanted God just take me on home. But I stood the test of time. I did what I knew I had to do. I stood firm. Amen? Come on. Trials are to be expected in the Christian life. Don't tell some pastors that. I got kicked out of church for saying that. In Acts 14:22 said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, is what the missionaries said. What does it say? We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. So anybody tells you that you're not going to suffer, they don't know the word. And if I was in sitting under them, I would remove myself. God uses these experiences for our good in Romans 8:28. He used them to refine our character and strengthen our faith. And you find that in 1 Peter 1:6-7 and James 1:2-4 and verse 12. And to make us more like Jesus. That's Romans 8:29. Let me say that again. God uses the experiences for our good to refine our character and strengthen our faith and to make us more like Jesus. And didn't he tell us one time back, we was going through terrible times, he said, I am bringing forth your character and integrity. So we were going, remember, we were going through really hard times, that it was to make, improve us so we'd become more like Jesus. So you young kids are just learning all this stuff. Keep your head up. Keep your eyes upon Jesus and just keep walking. One thing he can't do is kill you. You'll want him to every now and then, but he cannot kill you. It might, but I think what he is doing is killing your flesh. But he can't kill you, period. Whenever we do experience a test, Jesus is with us to strengthen us and intercede for us. You'll find that in Philippians 4:13 and Romans 8:26 through 39. You know, and what Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Every time you go through a test, I'm there with you, Jesus. That's what he tells me anyhow. He'll even say, daughter, I know this is hard, but I have your hand. I'm walking beside you. I'm walking you through this. He's right there with me, walking through. And he has to watch me suffer and go through whatever I'm going through. But it's building character in me. My father used to always teach me, you need character and you need integrity. If you don't have either one, you're not any good for anything. And so everything God puts us through is to build character and integrity. I do care if you've been molested, but you're still alive. It should put a strength in you. And my grandson asked me the night, he said, Mom, why were you so good when you was younger? And so we sat and talked about it for a while. And then I told him some of the rough times I went through. And he said, that should have destroyed you, but instead you're still here. See, these young kids are watching us. They're listening to what we say. And it's helping him grow into a better person. I didn't realize he thought that I was some angel on earth. But I told him rough things I had to go through. And he couldn't believe that. I know the rough times he's already going through. And I know that he has those going in him. Then he has watching what's going on in the world. Do you know what that's doing to our kids? Messing them up. So why don't we become families? Why don't we become mothers and fathers and love our children the way they should be loved? And let's show God that. Because one day when you stand before God, and God told me this, I'm going to hold you accountable for how you raise this child. He has everything you've done to your child written down, and he's going to talk to you about that. And some of you aren't going to be too happy, are you? You're not, because you know you didn't do it right. We all make mistakes raising children, but some people make too many, and it ruins their kids. Well, I got on that rabbit trail. Where are we at here now? In challenging times, it's reassuring to remember that Satan's power to sift Peter as wheat was limited by Christ's intercession. When Satan comes after us, we should remember that Jesus Christ always lives to intercede for us. And you'll find that in Hebrews 7:25. See, Jesus was there making sure he didn't go too far. He really was. Jesus was confident that Simon Peter would get back up again and go on to strengthen the other disciples. My father, as I've said this before, he's always told me, he'd say, Jimmy, when you're down, grab yourself by the bootstraps and get up, because nobody else is going to pull you up. You have to do that yourself. So every time, I was going through a terrible trial, I'd say, Jimmy, grab your bootstraps, pull yourself up and get moving, because nobody else cares. People do care, but you have to do something yourself. You're the one who has to pull yourself up. The prayers are covering you. Jesus is interceding for you, but you have to get the strength, and you have to do it yourself. The problem with the body of Christ is what I've seen is you're always wanting somebody else to do the work for you. They just want to float along. You don't float anywhere. You are a soldier, and you walk. And you do warfare. Constantly. Another reason the Lord allows us to suffer through experiences of testing is so we can learn how to help others grow in faith. I would never be able to help you if I didn't go through all the things I went through. And none of it was good stuff. But I know that it strengthened me. And I know that my testimony has helped many people because we get emails saying so. Even when we are in the same way with you, every one of you, when you give your testimony, you are helping somebody else to think there's no way out. But there's always a way out. It's Jesus Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly... this is 2 Corinthians 1:6. This is what it says. Even when we are weighted down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffered. You know, Paul was saying, what we're going through is helping you. You see us going through it. You see us rising above it, so you know that you can rise above it also. Do you know how many kids out there are molested by their parents? More than I care to think about. So you're not the only one in the boat that's been molested. I was molested, but not by a parent. So, you know, are you going to let that take you to hell? Are you going to let that kill you and not ever live right? Are you going to walk around with that weight on your shoulders continually and you can't have joy? You can't really enjoy life because you're always thinking about what somebody did to you. Well, guys, I'm sorry, but it's been going on since Bible days in the Old Testament. And it's going on right on through, and it's going on today. And I don't know when it's ever going to stop, probably when Jesus comes back. But we cannot, just like Gabriel said to me, that would destroy a person, what I just told him. I said, yes, it would, honey. But Jesus brought me through it. And I really don't even know, didn't know then what I know today. But now I know Jesus was with me. And he brought me through it. I don't care to remember junk. I really don't. And if you want to remember junk, then there's something wrong with you. And you need that cleansed out of you. So you can go on and live. Because you're really not living. And if you have aught against somebody, you're not living. They are. But you're in bondage because you won't let them go. All right. Before Peter's threefold denial, he was overconfident, trusting in his own strength. Luke 22:33. See that? Before Peter's, we know what he always said. He bragged about how he'd do this, that, and the other. Before Peter's threefold denial, he was overconfident, trusting in his own strength. But after being sifted like wheat, Peter learned that failure is possible because the flesh is weak. And you'll find that in Mark 14:38. I want all you guys to be happy. This is the freedom teaching tonight. It should be freeing you up from all the junk you've been holding on to. Let go of it. Let's let go of it. Now that Peter understood how easy it is to fall, Peter would have compassion and mercy for others while helping them avoid the same mistake. See, you guys, what you go through, what you've gone through, and now you understand that God was with you all along, and he made sure you weren't killed. Now you'll be able to go and minister to the other young people that's out there in the world messed up. And you're going to be able to tell them that Jesus was with you all the time, that he always loved you, and he was building character in you. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful, I think. All right. Our faith and perseverance are revealed not in a walk of sinless perfection, but in repentance and restoration. We get up and keep going like Peter after we fall. What's the Bible say? A righteous man falls 7 times in one day, but gets up 7 times in one day. When you fall, don't lay there. You're going to get trampled. You're going to have to get yourself pulled up and keep moving. When Satan comes to sift us as wheat, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us. And that's John 17, verses 9, 11, and 15. Jesus will protect us so that the devil can never destroy our faith and hope. John 10:27-28 and Hebrews 7:25. I told the story about my grandson, Jimmy, who years ago, he was going through pure hell, and I was praying for him one night. He was really sick at that point. And he said, "Why is this happening to me, Mama? Why? I haven't done anything bad." And Jesus said to me, "It's because Satan's trying to get you to quit." He was having to suffer because Satan couldn't get me. So he was after him. And he knows I love him with all my heart. And he felt like if he had him, he would have me too. But Jimmy said, Mama, I don't care what I have to go through. Don't you ever quit God. And, you know, it's just like I was watching glimpsing at a movie last night. And these robbers came and, you know, it was a Western movie, you know. And robbers came and they was trying to get this little old lady to tell about where this man went, and she wouldn't tell. They just destroyed her house, just shot everything up and everything. And then the man, she said, "I don't care. Go ahead and shoot me." They said, "We're going to kill you." She said, "Go ahead and shoot me. Just go ahead. I've lived my life anyhow." And then the main robber, he looked over and saw her donkey. And he said, "Oh, I just think I'll shoot this animal." And she broke, no, don't. I'll tell you everything you want to know. And she told him everything, but don't shoot my donkey. But, you know, they shot the donkey anyhow. You know, she gave in and they shot the donkey anyhow. And that's a good example, right? And that's exactly, you know, the house didn't mean anything to her. The bottles they were breaking didn't mean anything to her. Him smacking her in the mouth didn't mean anything to her. But the donkey was her life. And that's what it was with Jimmy and I. Jimmy was my life. And Satan thought if he could have him, he'd have me. So what is your life? If Satan can't get you, he's going to go after those that you love. Amen. And how strong are you? God's saying, how strong are you? All right, Jesus Christ began a good work in us, and he is faithful to complete it. You find that in Philippians 1:6. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to be sifted. The Apostle Paul now, not Peter, Paul. Apostle Paul's prayers for the people of God in 1 Corinthians 1:1-10. Look what Paul says. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus, the Messiah, according to God's plan, along with my friend Sothius. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth, Christians cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. You know, these people were all cleaned up. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus, wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. Then he says, may all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. He was praying for these other people even though he was in bondage. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. You know, now remember, Paul was in prison, in stock, and he was writing these people, encouraging these people. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. See, Paul wasn't looking at his bondage. He wasn't looking at the trials and tribulations he was going through. He was encouraging the people that was under him. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master, Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. See, Paul knew that because God was with Paul no matter what kind of trial he was in. And so Paul was passing that on to the people. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our Master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. You have to get along with it and encourage each other. Pray for one another. Paul knew how important that was. Do you? The body of Christ really doesn't. I'm not saying this body of Christ, but the body of Christ as a whole does not understand the philosophy of Paul. All right, so I said that because this is what God first spoke for tonight. So this is what God wants to tell you tonight. Strange events will begin to occur all across this land. Things never seen before will be happening right before your very eyes. There will be many angel sightings in my houses of worship, in homes, and on the streets. My angelic hosts have already been sent out on assignment to destroy the enemy that has been destroying my children. Children, always be looking up and never cast your eyes to the dry ground. Look up from whence cometh your help and hold on to my righteous right hand. I was having a problem the other day. Michael is my angel. God showed me that when I was first born again. And he said, why don't you call on Michael? Michael will take care of this for you. And I did it, and he took care of that situation. See, we need to call on our angel. God said, the enemy has been working overtime to stop the blessings I have been promising you. Why? Because he knows that many have grown weary, and he is throwing the final punch. Isn't that the truth? He believes he has my children down for the last count, but that is not the truth. My children finally realize from whence cometh their help, and they are running to the Father of all lights, and they are pleading their cases before the righteous judge of the universe. It has been toe-to-toe for quite some time now, but no longer. My angelic hosts are bringing the final blow to the enemy, and you will see your houses of worship rise up in might and power, and you will see them take back the land the enemy has stolen. I am the way maker, and I have been making a way out of this wilderness experience, and you will never again go back into the enemy's den. Fulfillment after fulfillment is upon you. The gifts I have been promising are on their way to you. What is it you have been asking for? Ask one more time and then receive. I like what he says next. I already know what you have been asking for. But it has been so long and you have become weary. I want to make sure you know what you want and need. Don't you sometimes say, I even forgot what? You know? God said, enough is enough, little ones. And this time when the adversary came and asked for you, I denied his request. That's why I brought up what I did in the beginning. I denied his request. You have been through the purging fires often enough. From this point forth, rejoice in the fact that testing time is over. And it is over the top time for all those who have been standing the test of time. God is pleased with that response that you just gave. And he's saying, children, I know it's been a long, hard road. Stone after stone to make you stumble. But I was always there with you to make sure you didn't stay down. My angels were with you and they picked you back up when you couldn't even pick yourself up again. And now we're on the victory road. And this time you're going to make it. This time you're not going to fall. And you're not going to give in to the wiles of the enemy. But you're going to make it. I've been watching you and I've seen you through this far. And I'm not about to drop you. We have entered into a time of worship and praise like never before. And we've entered into warfare in worship and praise. And now, great signs, wonders, miracles will follow. I could not let you go into signs, wonders, and miracles without changing your hearts totally and completely, because you would not have given me the praise. You would have taken all the praise onto yourself. But this is a glorious time, and I am with you in everything that you place your hands to do. And all you need to do is look up. I am ever before your face. Thank you, Father. How many of you are really ready to receive? No more sifting. No more Job. No more Peter. No more Paul. But you're really ready to receive the fullness of time that God wants to bring you into tonight. If you're ready to enter into that fullness of time, the altar's open for that.